Did he say he's ready? You're right. Good thing you called because my phone was in the other room.
Well, I had to. I figured, well, you didn't hear the text.
That's right.
Got to make the call.
Well, I
figured you were moving, not napping.
That's right. I was unpacking boxes.
No, I wasn't napping either. I was, but I was about to text. Do we need to call and wake him up?
Call and wake me up. You never have to call and wake me up, except the one time.
Right. The only person we have to call and wake up is you.
You never call him one time. One time. I just said it was
you
the same with
goat.
Fucking Jeff.
You fuck one goat.
All right, we did the same thing with Jeff.
One time in 2017. One time in the off season.
One time in June.
Right.
So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dope Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now. I'm going with a 1 or a 2. I can't tell. You know, depends on you tell me. In about
call him, tell him.
Anyway, I'm back from a little summer break, and I'm going to say you guys did a fine job of holding the fort down without my constant interruptions and bad jokes. The IQ of the show really escalated last week with my absence, but I'm here to bring you guys back down to first grade.
Excellent.
That being said, there's a whole lot of Saints talk to bring up since the last show, but... That being said, there's not a whole lot of Saints talk to bring up since the last show. But
you
we're
sure
about
that?
Well, I mean, just
we got two big stories.
Okay,
we have
two big stories. That's Fairley and Armstead.
Well, those are considering it's the off season. Those are big.
They're big guys, and we'll reach out. We'll reach into our look at him tweets account. And who knows what else. You have to keep listening to find out. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go with a 3.
A 3?
I got home. The window of recording started at 6 and could have gone until 7. So I'm like, shit, I better get ready. So I got home, hopped on the treadmill, my new elliptical, 25 minutes.
Because
I figured I needed it with the drinking and the LSU game tonight. So I hopped on the elliptical, got off, fixed a drink, got ready for 6, and just waited around. So I went through a
fifth of ground.
Not yet. I went through a big can of the Rockstar punched with some vodka, and now I've switched over to the Crown.
I did a Monster Orange with vodka.
See, I like I'm over like Red Bull. I'll drink by itself. I don't like mixing with alcohol anymore because you got all these other energy
drinks. I don't even like Red Bull
flavors.
Anymore. Yeah,
that mix better with vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a can of that. And now I'm on the Crown and Coke Zero.
I did the Monster Orange with vodka, but now I'm doing the Sweet Tangerine Abita.
Oh,
it's very
I didn't
good.
Try that. I got very some. I had some strawberry, but I got some of that Vita blueberry in the fridge.
The blueberry is good. I don't like the strawberry, but the orange, I like. I've been waiting for the orange since last summer, so I'm buying.
Aren't
every
you
time
glad
I
you waited.
Every time I see it in the store, I buy it out. Anyway, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm pissed off, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, why?
All these fucking injuries and wasted money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got any gum?
Yeah.
Speaking of, let's get into fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake. Because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here.
Which, yeah, I guess the first injury of fake news we'll talk about, right, is let's talk about Armstead. And
arms for the poor.
I was going to say that. But so he tore his labrum and is out at best case scenario. Let's say he'll be back in October. Worst case scenario, they're looking at Actually, it wouldn't be worst case. Middle case scenario, December. Worst case scenario, we never see the guy play for the Saints again, I guess you could really say. Breeze himself has actually even gone so far as to say this is a real big blow to the team. What do you guys think about it? What is the impact that this is going to have? Are we going to have to move Pete over?
I think I would prefer to keep Pete where he's at because he's
gelling.
He seems to be warming up to the left guard position. I think he's better there, but it seems like we're going to have to go with fucking Ramczyk at left tackle. I think that's our only option at this point.
He's got to step up. Is there any left tackles out? Is there anybody out there to grab and put on the team?
Not right now. I mean, maybe somebody gets cut.
Right.
But I mean, look, we're going to go through
that's
the whole
what you
training
want to
camp
Armstead like, with a reject from the Cleveland Browns. Oh wait, they do well here.
But we're not, you know, we're going to have to make a plan, make a decision right now and go with it cuz these guys are going to get all the reps in training camp. You know, it's not going to be worth it to hope for, oh yeah, maybe some guy gets cut the last week, the last round of cuts right before the season starts. That's no good. But it fucking sucks because, like, it was just on, like, a fucking tackling or, like, a little dummy drill. You know, it wasn't nothing. Like, he wasn't hitting another person. It was like a little tackling dummy.
But at what point do you start to question if he's just injury prone?
Right now.
Because
I mean, hold on.
Since 2015, he's had a knee injury, a hip injury, he's had quad issues, and now this.
Yeah, but
in two years.
I think, and maybe you know you'll disagree, but you can say, okay, his knee's bad if he's had knee issues the entire time, or his shoulder's bad. But it's always something different, you know. I don't think he's made of glass.
So he's injury prone. I think he is.
But
it's not like it's a chronic thing year after year.
Right. I don't know the thing
his
that
body
he's
is chronic.
He's not Glass Joe.
Yeah, I think he is. If it ain't his knee, it's his hip. If it ain't his hip, it's his quad. If it ain't his quad, it's his shoulder. If it ain't his shoulder, what's it gonna be next time?
Again, this is just a silly injury.
It's just bad. It's bad fucking luck, and it sucks.
The good thing is we're used to playing with Armstead only for part of the year anyway, so this is going to be par for the course. I mean, our offense has clearly operated just fine without him because we haven't had him for a full season.
Our offense has been okay, but...
Okay?
No, yeah, you're right. But still, like, he's our best offensive lineman. It's not good that we lost him. I'm not just going to chalk it up and say, well, we'll find a way. I mean, they're not going to have a choice. We're going to have to find a way to overcome it, but this is just... The goddamn Compton curse, fucking Sproles' wife. Ever since we traded him, we did all these off seasons. We've had multiple injuries in the off season. It fucking sucks. This is bullshit.
But you know what makes this worse is the Unger injury. It's not even the fact that it's Armstead. It's Armstead on top of Unger.
Yeah. No. Look, our two best offensive linemen. Just like that. Boom.
Yeah.
And they say, well, maybe Unger will make it back week one. I'm thinking Unger comes back like week three or four. I don't think there's any way he's ready by the beginning of the season.
Depends. If Sean Payton said he'll be back week one, that means he's getting his lower leg amputated. He's done. He's done. Right. He's finished.
Right.
He's hobbling off.
Uh-huh.
What aggravates me is this. We haven't even gotten into training camp, and we're down two linemen.
We haven't even put on our pad. They haven't even put on pads yet.
Well,
it sucks. Like all my optimism that I had going for. I mean, once the draft happened, you're like, okay, there's optimism. You know, you think got some talent. We're healthy. The team's coming together, and just boom, boom, boom. Within like a month and a half, it's just fuck.
All right, then let's just keep that injury train rolling and talk about Fairley's heart condition, ruling him. Pretty much done. I know last week you guys were talking about really being hopeful. That's one thing I wanted to bring up. So I listened to the show. It's actually pretty good to like miss a show and then go back and listen and not have her hearing it. Because
yeah, it's new
listening.
To you.
Yeah, it's new to me, and I'm listening as a listener. And I would say I got what you guys were saying about the whole the guy has to choose what's for his health, and it's okay to say, but I would really like the opinion to come back and let him play and be that. But what's weird was as I'm listening and I'm thinking about all of it, it's, you know what, at the end of the day, if he can't play and he's not going to play, then this is just part of the game. This is part of what, this is football. This is part of having a team, owning a team, running a team, managing a team, whatever. You always are going to have players to replace. If you're not ready to do that, if you don't have, to me, a good GM, hopefully we have that, I don't know, but prepares for these types of situations.
Have and you seen our GM you guys the last
listed
5 years?
Out, well, yeah, but you guys listed out three other guys that are going to be at the same position. If you can't overcome, and there's no guarantee that he's going to perform the way he did last year either, by the way. No, you don't know if right, players are right. going to do that year after year. I don't think it's as devastating.
No. Jeff, you're 100% right. It's not as devastating. Look, this isn't Geno Atkins or Aaron Donald.
Thank you. My point.
Okay. You're 100% right. The part that I'm pissed off about...
And that, people, is what grinds my gears. Tom?
Is how do we sign another motherfucker to a $28 million deal and he can't play?
Well, that's just that. Now, that's the story. That, to me, every player who signs a big contract, career ends with 6 months. Right. Within 6 months.
You know, definitely. I mean, you know, how did our doctors or their doctors or whoever's fucking doctor... miss this thing, you know, and look, God bless him, and you know, yeah, go live long and prosper. But how did you miss this major, you know, cardiac problem, you know?
I can tell you why, because our doctors are shit. They've been shit for both franchises. They've been shit for 5 years.
Then well, how did they catch it?
That's not the doctor. Right, it's not the doctor. I mean, I don't know what they're...
Well, but just how did he take a physical after we signed him and like, oh, well, here it is. Like, why didn't that happen before he signed him? I can tell you why. Because this Peyton and Loomis, and a lot of this is on Peyton because Peyton's basically the personnel guy and Loomis works out the contract. Peyton is a shitty talent evaluator. He's a great coach. He's a great offensive play designer. But he knew he wanted this guy, and we were gonna sign him no matter what. Like, they didn't do their fucking due diligence like they should have.
Well, they ignored the reports because he's played for so long.
But like,
or the other side of it, conspiracy theorist, is that they're in on it. Let's just we're the guys who are gonna pay guys not to play. You know what? We know that Fairley can't play anymore. We'll go ahead and, you know what, cash out, dude. You can thank you for your service to the NFL. Here's a bunch of lump sum payment so that you don't sue the NFL later for whatever.
Look, he was our second best defensive lineman last year. They knew they wanted him back. They knew they needed him for this defense.
And we existed before him and will exist without him.
Right. No, again, him, fuck him. He's right. We went to the point. He's not the be-all and end-all of defensive tackle.
He's not, but he was damn fucking good for us last year.
So like, somebody else is going to step up.
This isn't just a random loss. Somebody else will step up. That's not the case.
Next man up. Somebody's going to step up.
Right, you say that, but they're not that good. He was better than everybody else.
So they...
Like, you're hoping, like Rankins.
It's a new year.
I have a lot of hopes for Rankins to step up in his spot. You're thinking, oh, well, Onyemata or Davidson or whoever can step up, that's fine.
You know, I guarantee
they're not the same player. Fairley was better than those guys last year. This is a big blow.
Fairley was better last year. And God knows he signed a big contract. God knows what he'd have been this year.
I would think he would have been similar to last year.
Well,
maybe
that's not, unfortunately, after they get paid. That is
right.
Okay. Well, you're assuming he's going to.
It's the last year of the contract.
He felt so bad he can't get on the field.
Right.
He can't get on the field.
You're right. He was good last year. That doesn't guarantee he's going to be the best guy on the team this year. It's to Damon's point, especially because he just signed a big contract. How do you not know that he found a way to conceal his issues so that he gets his big payday,
He's had this condition from the combine in college.
Okay, so he gets his big contract, and then it becomes an issue where I can't play anymore. Boom, I just got paid not to play.
It's not his,
Junior Gallette.
It's the doctors and the team's decision. It's not his decision. He didn't make a decision like, oh, I know I got this. I'm going to do this and get paid. It's the team's fucking decision.
Oh, his agent.
And the doctor's decision.
Bullshit.
This isn't on him. I don't fault him at all.
Well, no, it's nobody's fault, and he didn't do this on purpose. He didn't hide anything.
His agent can make it an issue on his behalf suddenly, all of a sudden. Oh, we got our payday. You know what? Actually, this heart condition might be more serious than we thought it was. Maybe we shouldn't play. Maybe they shouldn't have fucking signed him.
That's the point.
Because they downplayed the issue.
I'm not putting any of this on him. This is not on him.
All I'm saying is you think that it's the end of the world and that the defense is going to go back to the end. To the worst defense of the NFL, and I'm saying you didn't know that he was going to be as good as he was. You don't know that another guy's not going to step up. You don't know what's going to happen. It's not the end of the world.
I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but our defense is worse off without him. I mean, you can't deny that. Like, you're pinning your hopes on the
potentially.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
You could also say that about Davidson and Omanyala. Look, I hope those guys pan out, and I hope those guys are good.
Maybe,
we have no idea.
Well, maybe they will because they'll get more playing time now.
Okay, and maybe they'll also suck, and our defense is going to be back to fucking square one.
Maybe you'll run out and get hit by a car tomorrow, but that doesn't mean you don't go outside.
I get it.
You look at the glass; it's half empty. I'm looking at it; it's half full.
I'm not looking at it as glass empty. I'm just trying to be a realist. And look, I am usually one of the most optimistic Saints fans. Like, I'll predict them to have – as long as Breeze is quarterback, I'll predict 10-6 pretty much every year. And coming into this season,
your prediction's wrong the last 3 years.
Well, right. Which shows you how optimistic I am. And just look, this injury sucks.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I hope we can overcome it. I hope that Omanyala or Davidson steps up and provides great –
So the loss of Fairley will not stop us from winning a Super Bowl. Or if he was on the team, he would not make us win the Super Bowl.
Right. The loss of Armstead
would never help.
Oh, no, yes, you're right. If we had him, we'd have won the fucking next five Super Bowls. You're right, Jason. That's it. This man should be in the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Fuck it. God bless fucking Nick Fairley. He's the greatest player ever to put on fucking black and gold. This is terrible. We're going to win fucking no games this year because Nick fucking Fairley is gone.
But I mean, it's pandemonium, kid demonium, tooth-sodding and heck. It's the craziest thing that happened in a whole blessed year. It was crazy. That was crazy. Him.
Give me the fucking break. Hey, fuck. He was a fucking meddler.
That's not what I'm saying.
He was a middling fucking defensive tackle.
Hold on. Nick Fairley has been, quote, your boy for a little while, Jason. I mean,
we only had him for a year. What do you mean a while?
I can you pick your mama, Aaron Brooks' dick in your mouth and hit Fairley's dick in your
last
ass.
Few. The last few. By the way, I did not like the joke at the beginning of the show last week. And I can't believe you let that in there, Jason. Fuck you for that.
Maybe you should make the next show. I don't know. Call me. Tell me.
You know what the difference between Nick Fairley's cock and the joke is? Jason can't take a joke.
Okay, fine. So be it. I'm just look. He was our second best defensive lineman this year. I'm sorry. There's going to be some kind of effect unless all of a sudden you're relying on a guy from where did Omanyala play? Or Davidson? Look, I hope to God they can step up and play.
We're beating a fucking dead horse. I don't know what
Let me say this in a way he can understand it. Fairly falling off is gone from – fairly to whatever's left is gone from like a 6 to a 5. Okay? It ain't that
it's probably
drastic.
Gone from an 8 to a 6.
Oh, bullshit.
No.
It's a 6 to a 5, maybe 7 to a 5. I'll give you that, but I'm not going to give you 8. I think your bigger problem that you should be more worked up over is Armstead. That's the bigger drop off. That's the 8 to a 4.
Well, like you said, but we haven't. Because
you know what? You lose a guy on defense.
The season
hold on, let me finish this thought. You lose a guy on defense, which is already suspect. It ain't gonna affect team as much as you lose now the left tackle. All right, left tackle who's protecting Drew Brees on an offensive line that's already got a center now position that's just been weakened.
Well,
I mean,
that's,
the Saints offensive line is going to affect this team a lot more than your fucking Nick Fairley. Okay, now what you got protecting Drew Brees is nothing better than a damn wet pillow.
Well, that is also a problem, but coming into the offseason, you know, I thought, well, shit, interior defensive line is actually going to be a strength on this team. And now you take away the best defensive tackle we had. Look, I hope to God Davidson and Omanyala can step up and replace him. It's just, you know, we'll see. All I can say, all of this has been the worst month and a half of this fucking team.
But you called it. You both of you, all three of it, we called it. We knew the injuries were going to start hitting now that the people.
No, we didn't. We were hoping that they didn't.
We were hoping they didn't, but we knew that they would. Deep down inside, we knew that they would, because that's what happens. I'm just hoping
that it happens to every team.
Like, this is not a Saints issue. This is football. Every team is dealing with this. You're just not hearing about it from the other teams.
Well, no, look. No. We've had the worst injury luck out of anybody else. Fuck all these other teams. But here's the thing now. So we already lost these guys. And this is before they get to practice and they actually hit each other. Like, what if we lose Rankins again? Or if
you will lose
Davis again,
more guys.
Then forget about it.
Oh, you
can
write six more guys off. Guaranteed. Between now and September, six people who are on the roster today will not be playing.
And that's the fucking problem.
That's my bold prediction, sure to go wrong. Six players on today, projected starters, won't be starting in September.
And then we're staring at 4-12, and it's going to be a fucking disaster of a season.
Well, welcome to whatever the organization is today.
Ugh.
I don't know what causes it. I don't know why it happens. I don't know what it is. But for some reason, this team has player health issues.
Sproles' wife needs to lift her fucking curse, man. We should have never traded Sproles. That was it.
What is
the second
curse,
we traded
anyway?
Sproles, it's been all downhill.
Why has his wife got anything to do with it? What's the story there?
She cursed us. She was pissed off when we traded him.
And she said, from now on, you will be
riddled
with
injury. She put a hex on it. She put a curse on it.
With injury in her curse?
Just in general, curse. A curse could be anything.
Well, I think, why do you say that, Jason? Because she's
I mean, I'm sure she's unhinged, but the second we traded him, they were pissed off that they got traded. She let it know. Put a curse on us, and ever since then.
I mean, did she say that? Did she say I put a curse on him?
Yeah, it was on fucking Twitter back then.
And you said the Compton curse. Why? Is she from Compton? I mean,
curse. I don't know. I don't know all the full details.
They who?
The Twitterati.
I mean, she's not from here. She's not like
No. She's not. Maybe it was just the nickname, the Compton curse. I don't know. I didn't do my research on that.
Well,
but I remember when we traded.
She's not related to Marie Laveau, right? I mean, you know. I mean, you know.
She may have gone to her shop when they were down here. I don't know.
Right. You know, I mean, if it was a Marie Laveau curse, I mean, sure, something to be worried about. But
she could have bought a voodoo doll from Marie Laveau's shop. I don't know. It just fucking sucks. Like, this is bullshit.
Injuries definitely suck.
I was having a lot of optimism coming in, and these three injuries, like, on the lines, like, the lines are the foundation of your team. We've lost three starters. Boom, just like that. Now, Unger will be back at some point, but I have a hard time believing Armstead's going to have any impact.
Right.
Sucks.
It'll be too late before he comes on.
I mean, but thank God we drafted Ramczyk, but he himself is coming off a fucking off-season hip surgery. It's like, well, fuck. Ugh.
All right, moving on to our next topic. We're going to go into look at him tweets. Let's see. I'm trying to look back into last week because you guys just totally skipped over looking in tweets.
Well, because we don't run the Twitter account.
And that's how I like it. Pretty much, Jason, I did like your description of the Super Bowl 51 GIF with the Falcons and the Patriots baseball deal. Brandon Guidry did tweet it to us with the little race. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We did have EJ tweeted to us, found a part of the Hoodat Nation in San Francisco. Hashtag never forget. It was a picture of him, I guess, hanging out with some random guy who's wearing a T-shirt that had the little Fox score board on it with New England 3, Atlanta 20.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. You guys did talk about the 283 diamonds and the ring.
I mean, look, again, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep. Let's see.
We're never going to live it down.
So let's see. Oh, then Brandon Guidry tweeted us that Stanley Jean-Baptiste is waived by the Chiefs today, and this was back on June 15th, with the caption of, well, that didn't last long.
Neither did his career. It was such a wasted fucking draft pick when we could have drafted fucking Jarvis Landry right there.
Yep. Neil tweeted a very good show about last show, but three is best. Oh, good. Good deal.
What is best?
Three. Oh. Meaning he missed me.
Well, look, like I said, look,
you do a very good job of
steering the show. Like I said, you do.
Everybody's always complimented you.
Yeah, look, I don't like it. I suck at it. I'd rather you steer the show.
Right. They compliment you on how you run the show, not on your contribution to the show.
Right. There it is. This one is themed along with the show where Ed Townsend came in and said, with the recent big name injuries lately and in the past, is it safe to say we need to look elsewhere for new medical staff? Something we've obviously talked about. But it seems to be a common theme among our listeners who don't even talk to each other, because we've got several tweets about the same pretty much issue, where here's another one from Hootadaholic saying, if the Saints medical team would just follow Drew Brees' offseason workout regimen, we'd have a healthy team that could play until they're 47. Hashtag shit.
Like we said, whoever pays the most, that gets to be our doctors. It's fucking Ochsner. They've sucked for both the Saints and the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
terrible injuries.
Nick tweeted for the show.
So many injuries that have also, like, not only have we had injuries, but the injuries have lingered. It was like, oh, yeah, he'll be back, September. He's lucky to come back November. Like, it's all been shit. And even some of the diagnoses, like, look, my dad's a doctor. They come out with these diagnoses, and my dad's like, I've never heard of that diagnosis before. Like, I've never heard of this being the reason for his injury. Like, it's terrible, and it's been this way for a while.
Yeah, and Nick's coming in, too. Do the Saints Pelicans have the worst medical training staff in the professional sports by a mile?
Yes.
I mean, we've been saying this, though, for the last 2 years. I mean, this isn't news to us at the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com. No. No, we've talked because we've experienced it firsthand. I mean, look, 2 years ago, the Pelicans missed the most games in NBA history. They missed like 300 and something games. Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson go to the Rockets. They're healthy all year.
Right. Bird, Armstead, Ellerby. Nick followed his tweet up. Inevitably, Lattimore with his bad hamstrings can just see it coming now.
And look, somebody's going to get a sports hernia. it's coming. It's coming.
Well, I think the sports hernia is actually just a cover-up for drugs or something, I think. That's just something that they say to cover for players who's got other personal issues.
It's frustrating. I mean, I don't know. It's all speculation, but it's a clear pattern of this organization that we've had way too many injuries and way too much shit happen. Maybe it's just a shitty lifestyle and great food here. I mean, fuck, I don't know.
Yep. And speaking of that, Zeno did tweet tonight, with the injuries so far this season, we're only missing one thing. Who gets the Saints annual sports hernia? You nailed it. Predictions on Ben Wright, predictions on record for the season, and what games do you see us winning and losing?
God, it's too early.
It's too early.
We have to go through training camp because you said, five more people are going to get hurt. We need to wait to see happens.
Yeah.
So then I can
We never make predictions early.
Yeah. Fuck off, Ben. Now.
Like, if you'd have asked that 6 weeks ago, I'd have said 10-6. But with these three,
dropping it now, you just lost two more games, maybe three. 10-9. That's 7-9. And then when you lose the other six guys between now and September, looking about four. I think what Jason said, 4-12?
I mean, look, this offseason, the injuries have been – we've had injuries every year for the last few years before the season. Guys have gotten injured and been out for the season in three straight 7-9. So at this point, 7-9 looks like the likely outcome, unfortunately. Maybe it'll change once training camp comes and if certain guys can step up and it looks like, holy shit.
Yep.
But –
all right.
That's all I got.
All right, that's all I have for looking at tweets. Let's move into one of Damon's segments, or a new segment, I guess we're going to start calling it, Things Damon Finds on the Internet.
Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on.
Ooh, are we sure about that? I feel like Damon's internet history is probably pretty graphic. If I had to guess, just
if it has anything to do
40...
with the porn magazines under the sink from the late 90s. All right, Damon, what'd you find on the internet this week?
Nothing.
All right, seriously.
No.
What's this norivalry.com thing you found here?
No, with an K-N-O-W. It's... look, it's... No, K-N-O-W-Rivalry.com. If you want to look, y'all can... You know, y'all listening, go to it. But what this is... I'm trying to see who did the research. But it's basically the Saints and the Falcons ranked as the biggest rivalry, okay, for this research.
What's the term as biggest?
Well, it's basically the hatred that each fan base has for one another. What they did, okay, I go to you and I say, Jason, you have 100 points. Who are the Saints' biggest rivals? And how
Falcons.
You're going... Okay, but now you can give all 100 points to the Falcons, or you can give 75 to the Falcons,
right.
10 to Tampa Bay. You get what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, I would probably give 65 to 70 to the Falcons. I'd give some to Carolina, Tampa.
Right.
Even some newer rivals. I mean, I still have a lot of hatred for the 49ers. From back in the day, you know. I mean, not as much now anymore, but when you factor in the history plus the playoff game in 11, you know, release things. And maybe, you know, maybe Seattle for the couple of playoff losses.
Right, well, right. And that shows up in there. So what they do, so they take, okay, so the Saints, you know, so the Saints fans have their points, okay? And then obviously you do the average. And then the opposing fans do the same thing. So those numbers aren't going to be the same. Obviously, because it's random. But the so what happens is then you add those together, and in their little system, again, if you want to visit the website, visit it. And they get the aggregate, and this out of everyone in the NFL, the Saints and the Falcons far and away were the biggest.
The biggest combined.
The biggest combined, correct. But the funny part is, or at least in my opinion, all right, so the Saints fans gave the Falcons 65 points, but Atlanta fans gave the Saints 75 points. So basically their fans hate us more than we hate them. We are a bigger thorn in their side
than they are in ours.
You know, we play on their mind more so than they play on our mind. And I'll be and the same thing as you with Carolina. We get
what's interesting, look, so we're Carolina 14%. But Carolina thinks of us as 39%. I mean, that's more than double.
That's
like 150%.
Right.
And then Tampa, we have it 6. They have it 28.
So basically, the other three teams hate us more than we hate them.
Right. Well, look, Carolina and Tampa Bay, because we've had the most success over the last 7, 8 years. You know, I mean, Atlanta.
Look at us in San Francisco versus and us in Seattle. 5-0.3 San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, think about it anymore.
Like the San Francisco fans don't care about us anymore, but we have a lot of anger towards all the times that they fucked us.
Exactly.
And,
right.
Same
I will
Seattle
always.
And Dallas.
I think Dallas has is high on everybody's list because everybody just hates Dallas because of the way the media pushes them for the last 20 years. Like, you know, you can't hear enough about Dallas, and I think they won one playoff game.
And then I love how Minnesota, like, we don't consider them a rival anymore. But they really hate us. From a 0.7 on our end, but to an 8.6 on their end. I wonder why.
They're still keeping that 2009 grudge going.
Right. And then I do like the whole New England thing, because that just feels like kind of a mutual kind of Breeze, Brady, Peyton, Belichick. Right. I mean, there's no other reason why those two would register on each other's radar.
Well, they don't have a reason to hate us. I don't have a reason to hate them.
No.
Right, but we appear on each other. We appear on the list of. I mean, granted, maybe because it's just what it is. But
well, because there's nobody else. Because you know what? Because we don't give a fuck about the other 24 teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't give a fuck about the other. I mean, you know, 30 teams. You know, I just.
No, I mean, I care about our division.
I don't even fuck Carolina. Fuck Tampa Bay. I just want to shit on Atlanta.
I mostly want to shut up, but I do dislike San Francisco and Seattle.
Yes. Again, we've talked about it before in past shows. Again, Seattle, I mean, San Francisco for me is a distant, but definitely second in my most hated teams.
All right, so then other than that, I wanted to bring up another thing here, and this was the Twitter one that I kind of put aside because this is a little bit of a have you seen this, have you heard about this, but also just a general, you know, fuck the Falcons segment.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say fuck off, fuck off, fuck off,
fuck off.
If you don't get it, why don't you go shove your head back up your ass and don't waste my time. I don't need your opinion.
First of all, a lot of tweets for some reason today about the Falcons stadium reference.
Oh, you mean the
big
the
Chinese
Metallic
takeout
Castle?
Box? Or, well, okay. Chinese takeout box, first of all. And maybe that's been going on for a while, but I just noticed today. But
oh, that's a good one.
It does look like that. Whatever all the stories that are it's suddenly getting a little bit of a media attention all of a sudden. I don't know what the breaking news is, but we did get a whole don't let this $1.6 billion Chinese takeout box distract you from the fact that the Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. but I did want to – I know you guys talked a little bit about the stadium last week on the show, and I don't want to kind of rehash that, but I'm looking at a picture of it, and it looks like just this clusterfuck of a mess of just – shit, like it just looks like somebody just piled a big pile of crap in the middle of the city.
It's a metal asshole. It is. It's a shit looking stadium. And I know they posted the video from a little thing picture from inside with the scoreboards that are kind of like up top around acting as the sphincter. as the circle of the hole, and they put the pictures. But I believe they didn't put a number. Like, they showed a bunch of players, but I don't think they included a 25 up there.
But did they put a number 2?
They should have.
It's fitting that Matt Ryan's number is 2. He's Matty Shit Pants. He's number 2, and that they're building a metal asshole.
Honestly, like
there's clearly a theme that the Falcons recognize.
I really wish our game this year wasn't on the Thursday night, and it was on a Sunday, because I would be willing to drive up there to go to the game.
So, but I wanted to read a few of these tweets about it. But by the way, so
yeah, that was sarcasm in case you couldn't catch it. Yeah. Yes,
a Saints fan tweeted out about it, and then some of the Falcons fans I think didn't take kindly to the tweet and posted pictures of the Superdome after Katrina. The devastation and destruction.
Yeah, right. That's all Falcon fans do to come back at us is put Katrina shit. It's just right. It's stupid.
But isn't the difference there that, like, we didn't have a choice?
Right. It was a natural disaster. Right.
Right. People fucking
you
died
chose
in there.
This.
Right.
People fucking died in the stadium right there. It's totally different, but all Falcons fans can do when we rib on them is come back with fucking Katrina jokes. Right. Like fucking natural disaster jokes. Where
right,
people
right.
Die. I mean, that's all they have.
Right, that's basically like saying, ha ha, your mom died. You know, what?
So
right.
Yeah.
That's all they have.
So I want to read a few of the Saints fans' reactions. Let you guys react to some of the tweets too. So Saints fan random says, yeah, and we still had a strong enough organization to win a Super Bowl before the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead. And then a Falcons fan comes and says, yeah, but you couldn't win without purposefully hurting players.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that whole bullshit.
Somebody else came in and said, yeah, you mean playing tackle football like the rest of the league? So will the Falcons' new stadium come with fake crowd noise to play through the speakers like last year in the playoffs?
I think, was that Klobubba who said that?
No, that was James Taylor.
Damn.
Not
Klobubba.
Oh, James Tabor, not James Taylor.
Oh. Yeah, James Taylor's a musician. He didn't care about the Falcons either.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Falcons gonna lose them all. All right, so this one says, you mad because your team can't get over 500 with a chance and have a chance to be in the playoffs? I guess that was a Falcons fan there.
Look, it's you know, Falcon fans love to try to get ass, but again, you know, we've owned them since Peyton and Breeze have been here. We also have a Super Bowl, and they blew the worst
Right.
Lead
right.
in blew, Super Bowl history. They can't come back to lead. That.
You suck.
Right. There's no way they can ever come back. There's no way they can ever come back from that. Right. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't matter.
Who put the curse on the Atlanta Falcons team?
Well, the one thing would be is this one guy said you can't blow a Super Bowl lead if you never make the playoffs. And this is what I wanted to ask the two of you, which is why I really wanted to bring
I'd assume not make the playoffs and suffered what the fucking Falcons did.
Okay, that was going to be the question. Bowl. Would you rather make the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, blow a 25-point lead,
or
assume not make the playoffs to begin with?
Right. Jeff, would you rather see a hot woman in a bar go back to her hotel room and she kicks you in the nuts? Or you get to stay at the bar drinking?
I would even say it's different. Would you rather stay at the bar drinking or take the finest girl in the bar back to the room and you can't get it up?
That's what Jeff, like,
Jeff, what do you normally do?
Ha 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 ha. I stay at the bar.
or even like get it up.
Or you fold it in.
You fold it up and you shove it in no matter what.
Or either you get it up and right as she's ready to do it, you pull a Jason Biggs from American Pie and just do that.
You start celebrating a little too early, is what you're saying?
Right. Right. Now look, if it's going to the Super Bowl and lose, but not lose in a crazy fashion. Like obviously it would suck to lose the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't want to go to the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. It would suck to lose, but lose like the Falcons did, never.
Right.
That is always going to be remembered as the biggest choke job in Super Bowl history, and right. I don't want that.
No. I mean, like...
Well, imagine what here's the thing. Oh, go ahead, Damon. Sorry, I cut you off.
We've been saying that for 6 months. I mean, this is the gift that keeps on giving. You can't turn on you still can't turn on the radio or Twitter or TV without someone making a comment about it.
What's you know best what I mean? Is there was a. I mean, it's not just Saints fans. It's all
everybody.
Football. There was. Did you see them? I don't know if it's a Saints fan or a Patriots fan or somebody, but they tweeted a graduation picture of some high school graduation. It's like, Cody, you are 18 years old. You had 7 classes this semester. 18 plus 7 is 25. The Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. Never forget. I mean, there's no indication that it's a Patriots or a Saints fan. Well, I did have hashtag GoPats, so I'd imagine it's a New England Patriots fan.
But still, I mean, that's the thing. You have a fan base celebrating their win, then you have another fan base celebrating the loss, but everybody else will always remember the worst loss in Super Bowl history.
Right. And you said, would you want Atlanta to have that to hold over our head?
No, because that's the thing. They want us, they feel like, oh, you should not. That shit, no, oh, no, don't say that. No.
Right,
fucking T if the shoe was on the other foot.
Well, of course. At least we made the Super Bowl. You made a record. It was the history of the game of football. It is the biggest fuck up ever. You know, worse than Aaron Brooks' backwards pass
it's the worst. Like the previous deficit was 10 points, and they went 25. Like they more than doubled the previous worst. Like this is never going to be topped in the history of the NFL.
Right?
No. You don't play that again. The Falcons might do it again.
They're not getting back.
You don't come back from something like this right away. They want to tell themselves.
But anyway, but anyway, I mean, you know, we beat it to death, and not that.
That's you know, wrong with that.
No, it's not. But
anyway, all right. Final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts. I want to give a shout out to a friend of the podcast, Mike, aka Fuck the Falcons. So we got an invitation to an engagement party this past weekend. And so we're like, okay, yeah, let's go. It's fine. It was at Gordon Beer. So we show up to the engagement party, and it was a nice little get-together. And all of a sudden, somebody says, it started at 6:30, maybe at 7 o'clock. We're like, okay, we're going to move outside, and we're going to get this wedding underway. And I'm like, holy shit. It was a surprise wedding.
The shortest engagement I've ever heard of.
Yeah, it was a surprise wedding. So they went outside in Fulton Square, and everybody went outside and showed up, and they got married right there. So that was really cool. First surprise wedding I've ever been to. So it was fun. So congratulations to Mike and his lovely bride on their recent wedding. It was a fun night. you know, it's interesting. A lot of their friends at the wedding were that they met through Twitter, and it's interesting. You meet people through Twitter, and you meet them in real life. And it was fun. So Renee and I, we went. We had a good time. I'm glad we decided to go because I'd have been mad if I was like, oh, it's just the engagement party. We'll go to the wedding.
What a dick.
You know, because I'm glad we went. So, I'm glad we went. We got to see the wedding. So you know.
So you almost said fuck the Falcons.
Well, I mean, I knew we were going to go. I knew we were going to go. But I know, like, Blaine and Courtney got invited. Blaine couldn't get out of work. Courtney's wife was out of town. He had the kids. He couldn't go. So I'm glad we were able to go. So just congrats. It was a fun night.
But see that mic there, who has been a guest on the Dome Patrol podcast?
.com.
The Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Cares about you and sent a member to your wedding.
Of course.
All right, Damon, final thoughts?
Nope. Thank you.
Well, I'll just be happy that we finally got through a fucking episode without talking about fucking Tiger Woods. Talk about something. If you really look back on our last few episodes, we talked a whole lot about a fucking dipshit guy who's irrelevant.
Well, because he's not irrelevant, but
he's irrelevant
because
right
stuff
now.
Happened. Because
right
a
now.
Major story happened.
Yeah, but y'all spent you. If I calculated the amount of time, the minutes spent talking about this guy and debating his relevancy, we wasted a lot. I mean, that just shows you how little there is to say about the Saints, that we gave that much time to Tiger Woods. I'm just glad that we're getting really close to Saints taking over our show again, because
well, that's the thing.
Jesus
look,
Christ, I'd rather talk about movies. Why didn't we talk about movies this year?
I've been seeing a bunch of movies.
Or TV shows, for that matter.
I've been watching a bunch, but it points to, look, it's the Saints offseason, and B, look, Tiger's one of the most important sports figures.
I didn't bring him up to have the thing again. You've made the point.
Actually, you brought him up. I wasn't even going to talk about him.
Well, I know.
You just brought him up.
Don't say it again. We've said it.
You said it. You kept talking about it.
I know. I get the irony. But shit.
It just goes to show it all comes back to Tiger Woods.
It does. It really does.
And look, when he makes his comeback next year.
Well, you know.
When he makes his comeback next year. I'm just glad Damon's on mute.
Well, he's officially in rehab, so he's going to make his comeback next year.
Okay. Anyway.
Jason, are you fucking high?
He must be.
I need to send you to rehab.
Gonna go to rehab. I like that, Damon, how you threw that in there last week. That was great.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Why don't you like us on Facebook? Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, fairly donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.